14. I want to preach a little while on the thought that Jesus is exactly who he said he was. And let me go ahead and tell you this. If Jesus is who he said he was, then that means this book is true. And that means if this book is true, that means everything in this book is true. Amen? That means all the prophetic stuff that it said that has happened and it did happen, amen, just like the Bible said it was going to happen, everything that the Bible says in Revelation is coming. Amen? Mark chapter 14, the Bible tells us in verse 61, but he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. There's a lot of folks that claim that Jesus never claimed to be God. That's a lie. Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, you'd move in this church. Thank you for the songs, God. Thank you for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, God. Lord, and I know I am not the only Christian in this building, Lord, that felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit as they sung that song. Lord, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. God, you move in this church. God, you move. Holy Spirit, you go on every pew. You speak to every heart, and whatever's done, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is who he said he was. Amen. The Bible plainly says that in Mark chapter 14 that I read to you. I want to go back and look at just a few things about Jesus. Number one, the virgin birth. It was predicted in Isaiah chapter 7 of verse 14. The Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, if you go to Luke chapter 1 and we find out somewhere around verse 30, we find out that an angel came to Mary. And Mary was a young lady. She was most scholars believe about 12 or 13 years old, and she had never known a man. The angel said, you're going to conceive. She said, how can I conceive if I've never known a man? He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Amen. Study it out. It's all been proven by history. And let me go ahead and tell you something. Jackie, even if it had not been proven by history, Chucky, I'd still believe it. You say, preacher, you believe that Bible like that? Yes, sir, I do. I believe the Bible from cover to cover. I believe the Bible. I believe the cover because it says Holy Bible. Amen. I'm like the old preacher said. If that Bible would have said that Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd have believed that too. Amen. That's the problem with some of y'all. You don't believe nothing. Oh, you got to prove it to me, preacher. I'll tell you right now, I'll prove it to you right now. You drive down the road and you operate on faith driving down the road that Mack truck ain't going to hit you head on. You operate on faith when you take that credit card out and you slide it through that machine. You think everything's going to work. Well, let me go ahead and tell you something. I'm just going to go ahead and choose to believe the Bible. It's been accurate so far. It's never let me down, amen, in 40 years. And I know it's not going to let me down now. Jesus is who he said he was. The virgin birth proved that. Jesus also had a verified life. Now you listen. Jewish historians wrote about Jesus. Roman historians wrote about Jesus. He was known to be wise and virtuous. Listen to this. The fact was reported by Jewish historian Josephus, who was born around AD 37. In his Antiquities of the Jews, he reports this. At this time, there was a wise man named Jesus. His conduct was good, and he was known to be virtuous. Josephus was not a Christian. But he wrote about Jesus, amen. We know that Jesus had a brother named James. It's recorded the stoning of James. Josephus wrote this. So he assembled the Sanhedrin of judges and brought them before the brother of Jesus, who was called Christ, whose name was James, and some others. And when he had formed an accusation against them, the breakers of the law, he delivered them to be stoned. So Josephus wrote about James being stoned, which was the brother of Jesus. So Josephus has not talked about Jesus twice. He was known to perform miracles. Celsus was a second century Greek philosopher, a fierce opponent of Christianity, and what is known to be, and it was probably known to be the first comprehensive intellectual attack on Christianity. He tried to resolve by Jesus by saying that Jesus didn't perform the miracles. And what this was what he wrote. Jesus, on account of his poverty, was hired to go to Egypt while he was acquired, where he acquired certain powers which Egyptians prided themselves on possessing. He returned home highly elated and possessing these powers, and on the strength of them gave he himself out to be God. In other words, he said when Jesus came back, he could perform miracles. This was an atheist. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. The fact comes from us, from the most trusted historian of ancient world. Cornelius Tacitus was born in AD 56 and served as a respected senator. He was understand something. Hold on just a minute. Let me find where I put my place here. He wrote of a history of the first Roman Empire. He considered to be the pinnacle of Roman history, writing, this is what he knows, Christus, or Christ, from which we came, is the original, suffered the extreme penalty under the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our prosecutors, Pontius Pilate. This was, I mean, his birth was recorded, his life has been verified, and you got to understand something. Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he was. His crucifixion was accompanied by darkness. Listen to this. It was recorded by a Samaritan historian named Tallius. This is what he wrote. On the whole world, there pressed a most fearful darkness, and the rocks were rent by an earthquake, and many places in Judea and other districts were thrown down. What else you got to have? What else do you need? He had a virgin birth. He had a verified life. You understand? He is who he said he was. He also suffered a most vicious death. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now you understand something. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He had a his virgin birth has been verified. His life has been verified. His death and resurrection have been verified. But I want to talk about the crucifixion right now. What he had to go through. You understand something? When they arrested him in that garden, that's when it started. They started beating him in the garden. They started slapping him in the garden. And they beat him all the way to the high priest's house. And they slapped him and beat him in the high priest's house. Then they took him and put him on the scourging post. They put him on that whipping post. And they whipped him with cat of nine tails. And then I'm going to go ahead and say, from some of you that don't know what I'm talking about, that was a whip that had bone and metal tied to the end of it. And every time it would touch the flesh, it would pull the flesh off of the bones. Jesus suffered that kind of death so that you and I wouldn't have to die and go to hell. And we put our nose up at him. We stub our nose at him. But you understand something. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The most vicious death that anybody through history ever suffered. Why? Because that was your death. Wes, that should have been you. Mike, that should have been you. That should have been me that was at that whipping post. They unhooked him off that whipping post. They placed that cross on his back that was already bleeding and already opened up the wounds. And he had to carry that cross all the way up to Calvary's Hill, where they took and they nailed him to the cross. And they lifted it up and placed him on that cross. I wonder how many times Jesus' mind went back to what he told his disciples. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men nigh unto myself. And the Bible says, this is what amazes me. After all that, His back opened up. His chest opened up. You could probably see some of his organs. Probably some of his organs. If you studied out, probably some of his organs were already coming out of his body. And he still was not dead. And the Bible says he had to bow his head and had to give up the ghost. You can't kill God. That's why he had to give up the ghost. He had to lay his life down for you. He gave up the ghost for you. He suffered a most vicious death. But it's also been proven, praise God, he had a victorious resurrection. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 6, at the end of the Sabbath, as it was beginning to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. How do you know, preacher? Well, the Bible says there were 500 witnesses that witnessed his resurrection. Not only that, there were 11 men that followed him. There were 11 men, Alan, that followed him and was there with him through his life. They were there with him when he died on that cross. They saw this. They were there with him when they placed that dead body into that tomb. And they were there with him when he came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And all 11 men were persecuted and tried to be martyred. Every one of them gave up their life, but John. John was the only one that died of natural causes, and they done their very best to kill him. They boiled him in oil, glory to God, and could not kill him. But Peter was hanged upside down. They were stoned. Hey, they went to their death saying, he is who he said he was.
Amen.
Let me go ahead and remind y'all something. Some of you younger folks might need to go back and study this. For some of us older folks, we know about it. And back when they used to teach history in school, amen, before they tried trying to brainwash everybody, they taught us about Watergate. There were some men that were surrounded the President Nixon. But when all of it started unraveling, Wes, you know what they done? They turned their back on him. You won't die for a lie. Mm-mm. But for what I know to be the truth, I'll stand on it to the end.
Amen.
As they hung Peter upside down, Peter said, I ain't denying. Hey, I'm thinking about, you know, all these martyrs down through the year. Chucky, how in the world can somebody be burned at the stake and say, all you got to do is deny that he was the Christ and deny that he is God. And I will not deny. They go ahead and light the fire and set them on fire. Hey, down through the years, people have given up their life because Jesus Christ has been verified. Glory to God. He is real. He is who he said he was. Well, how do you know, preacher? Takes me into my next point. Praise God, he's a valuable intercessor. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, and he's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That word intercession right there comes from the Greek word. It means to confer with, or to entreat, or to deal with, or to make intercession. In other words, when I pray, there's somebody seated, Melvin, at the right hand of God. And every time you pray, there's somebody seated at the right hand of God. And our prayers go to him, then it goes to the Father, glory to God. And there are angels, glory to God, that's sitting there waiting to dispatch. I understand something. He is the intercessor. How in the world can we pray and somebody got cancer and we come back and they ain't got cancer? How in the world can we pray and somebody got heart disease and it comes back and they ain't got heart disease? I'm telling you right now, hey, he is the intercessor that he said he is. And I don't know what you're going through, but I'm telling you right now, he's real. He's real. And I'm glad that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And when we call out on him, let me ask you a question. How many has ever had a prayer answered? I'm not talking about through the doctor giving you some medicine. I'm talking about they ain't no way they understand it. They ain't no way they can explain it. How many has ever had a prayer answered like that? He's a valuable intercessor. But you understand one thing. For all you here this morning, and you got doubts, and you think this preacher's crazy, and you think all I do is stomp around and holler and jump up and down, one of these days, Jesus is going to be vindicated. You understand that. The Bible tells us, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Romans chapter 14, verse 11, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess. You understand something. Jesus is going to be vindicated. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They beat him. They spit on him. But one day he's coming back. Glory to God. The Jews didn't accept him because they wanted a warrior king. Well, they're going to get exactly what they wanted one day. He's coming back. Glory to God. One of these days he's coming back riding a white horse, and the Bible says on his side is going to be written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back to vindicate himself. He's coming back to rule and reign. Glory to God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of the things of heaven and the things of earth and the things under the earth. Revelation chapter 17 verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. You understand? He's coming. You will bow. You can bow now or you can bow then. You can worship him as Lord as now, or you will worship him as Lord then. There's going to be two judgments. Let me tell you this. There's going to be two judgments. The first judgment's for the Christians. When the rapture takes place, the Bible says that the dead in Christ arise first. All of those that died looking for the Lord to come back died with their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible, their soul's going to be reunited with that body. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. Hey, we will stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll be judged on what we've done in this Christian life. But then there's going to be another judgment. After Jesus comes back and rules and reigns for 1,000 years, the Bible says there's going to be what's called a great white throne judgment, where everybody who was not saved, everybody who was not under the blood, everybody who died lost, will stand before Jesus Christ. You will bow. You will confess he is God. Now listen, if you're at that throne, you will go to hell. There ain't nobody goes to heaven at the great white throne. All that's over. He is who he said he was. He's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Everything in that Bible will come to pass. It's already happened. I mean, the Bible predicted that Israel was going to become a nation again. The Bible predicted everything that's ever happened. And I'm telling you right now, it's been verified. I've told you that this morning. It's been verified through history. It's been verified through historians. It's been verified through Jewish historians. It's been verified through Roman historians. It's been verified by atheists that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. Now, let me ask you a question. With all that, what's keeping you from going to heaven? With all that, with all the knowledge, I mean, with everything stacked up, and I mean, if we were weighing it in the balance this morning, the weight of the truth of the Bible really outweighs the negativity and the lies of the devil. Where do you stand this morning? Where do you stand this morning? If you had to stand before God right now, how would it be? If you knew that before nightfall, you would be at the great white throne judgment or the judgment seat of Christ, what would you do in the next few minutes when we give this altar call? I want you to bow your heads.